Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the Round 18 preview, as well as a little bit of a recap of Origin 3 and the series as a whole that wrapped up last night. I feel like I've got heaps to talk about, so let's dive into it. Last week, just 1-1 on the best bets, including losing probably the worst beat of the season. We'll touch on that. We lost the mixed matchup. That broke a streak of 7 consecutive winners we had before that, which was an incredible ride. The ride is not over. I'm going to keep giving one every week, and I've got one this week that will hopefully get us back in the winner's circle. As I said, a lot to discuss. I'll spend maybe 5 to 10 minutes wrapping Origin 3 and the series, where we also lost my value play for Game 3, which means we went 0-3 on my single, you know, value plays for each of the Origin matches, which is disappointing. I liked each and every one of them, but I have to talk about my losses just as much as I talk about wins on this pod. Although speaking of wins, we did win that Euro futures play for the European Soccer Championships, where of course Italy saluted and we got $6.50 in a double chance market on Monday morning. And look, that match had plenty to talk about. I'm not going to talk about a soccer match, but I will say I could see a lot of similarities between the Euro final and Origin last night. And what I mean by that is you had a huge stakes match decided by the narrowest margin. And all the talk afterwards, everyone talks about the loser. What did they lack? What mistakes did they make? What decisions have been questioned by the coach? What errors? And everyone praises the winner. The winner did this great. This player played great. And the fact is, in a narrow match, one moment could have been an entirely different result. And yet, if that moment had happened, everybody would have a totally different assessment of the game. So I try not to do that. I talk about everything that happened in the game that we can learn from, not just kind of basing a narrative on the final result, because a lot of these games can go either way. But anyway, let's begin with what we always begin with, the best bets, which you expect in the first 5 minutes. So here they are, round 18, really challenging. Of course, you got all the Origin stars. We don't know for certain necessarily in every game who's backing up from Origin 3, and the latest spanner in the works, the relocated teams that have had to uproot, move to Southeast Queensland, relocated matches, the different venues in the mix too. I just have two best bets on two matches for this round, and they're both actually going to be neutral venue clashes. It begins with me taking the Raiders plus 2.5, $1.88 on Unibet, and the next best available would be to take plus 2, $1.90 on Sportsbet. They play the Cronulla Sharks at Cbus Stadium. I wish I was on the Raiders last week when they beat Manly. They were 14-point underdogs. They won by 14. But the thing is, a week ago, I did not know if this Raiders team still had the fight left in them and still had belief they could make the 8. So that win last week really, to me, is like new information, because now I know they have both of those things. And they did that without Jack Whiten and Josh Papali, their best two players who both rejoined the team. It's a 10-day turnaround from that result, whereas they play a Sharks side that has just a 6-day prep. So a bit of a difference there as we get to kind of the grind dog days of the season somewhat, where energy can definitely be a factor. And this isn't me strongly wanting to fade Cronulla. I think we've been on Cronulla nearly every week for the last few weeks, with mostly good results. And I still don't know if I can justify the Sharkies being favourites in this game, though. That's what it comes down to for me. I think Canberra's season is on the line here more than Cronulla's. I think it's going to be a super tight game. I'll take that plus 2.5. And then we move to Sunday, where I'm taking the Panthers minus 5.5, $1.80 on Unibet. Next best available, minus 6 at $1.82 on TopSport. They play the New Zealand Warriors at Suncorp in the early Sunday afternoon game. I just think, maybe have people forgotten how great Penrith were for the first, 13 rounds of this season? Or is it because of the significant outs, namely Nathan Cleary, that people are downgrading them a bit too much? I also think their recent results, because they have, they've underwhelmed either with narrow wins or actually losing games they're expected to win. But I think there were a lot of reasons that went into that. And they have some big inclusions, obviously 5 Origin players. And I expect most will back up. They've got all the way till Sunday to back up for this. Plus, Dylan Edwards a big in. Sliding Matty Burton to the halves, where he didn't play in the halves last time when they were without Cleary. And I think they missed an opportunity to use his kicking game and his playmaking to cover what you do lose with Cleary, and now you lose with Luai as well. And I'm not going out of my way to try and bet against New Zealand, although I seem to have been against them a few times this year. I think they've been really brave, and I think it's a talented team. But it's a question mark to me. How do they respond? Getting uprooted again, and having to play in a new venue and new squad headquarters, coming off yet another tight loss, so that top eight is kind of drifting away. Whereas Penrith's off the bye, fresher. I think Penrith's primed to prove a point in this one. I was surprised how low that line is. Those are my best bets. Of course, I'll dive into every game. I've got plenty to say about all of them. Thank you for everyone who has supported so far this year. I've really enjoyed the year. It's been as good as I could have hoped doing it on my own. It is a lot of hard work. And now we're into July. It is the kind of point crunch time for me where I got to start making decisions, to be completely candid, about like, what do I do with the pod through the summer? What can I do? And personally, what do I put the majority of my time and my focus in, and in terms of my career and everything, and whether it's feasible for me to do the pod again in 2022. Obviously, you know, pledge to you guys, I'm going to bring it back to you 2021. I'm going to give it everything I have. We're 2/3 of the way through the season. I've done that. Obviously, I'm not going to stop now. So that's my number one focus. Let's finish this final third of the NRL season strong and into the finals. But beyond that, you know, it really just comes down to whether I can keep growing it and get the support, and there's people that want to tune in every week, make it worthwhile doing. I very rarely talk about the business side of things, but I don't know if people are aware, I do actually knock back quite a few opportunities to monetize the pod even more so. There are a lot of, let's say, other bookies that I'm not as confident to promote that would be happy to kind of have a promotional part of this pod, but I don't do it if I don't think I can genuinely endorse that. There's other products where I don't necessarily think you guys want to hear me plugging products that maybe don't align. I mean, I could be here reading a Manscaped ad and maybe that would suit someone like me, but I don't want to fill the pod up with trying to marketing to you guys. But I am just going to throw this out there, and then anybody listening, do this with this what you will, because I have to see if the pod can be worthwhile for all the time I put into it. So if you are a business owner, you have a product or a service that you think actually would be valuable to people that listen to the pod in the pod demographic, I'll be open to inquiries. Feel free to shoot an email to tripodbetting@gmail.com. Thought I'd just throw it out into the universe, see what happens, guys, because I do want to keep bringing the pod back. That's why I give everything I have into this to hopefully make it a good product that can continue to grow. Let's talk about Origin 3. I'm wearing my maroon pod shirt here. I am like really happy that my state won a game, and it was a really exciting game. I think even you Blues fans would have to admit, it's great to have a game of footy that's, you know, got the best players in the game, in a back and forth match, anybody's to win, and some desperation out there. You love to see it. Now, I didn't love to see our best bet or our value bet on Top Sport fail. That was Teddy to Scorch, didn't happen. And New South Wales first to three tries, that didn't happen either. Really, I misjudged this game because I did not have a high degree of confidence at all that Queensland was really going to bring this performance. I feel like all the disruption they'd had, all the turmoil, what we'd seen in game one and two, you had no Harry Grant, you had an out of sort Munster, you know, DCE out of form, questioning his capability to lead the team, a Queensland pack without David Fifita, Arrow of course out. You know, nobody could really be sure that Greeny was a great coach or that the team had a great culture. So for somebody to needed to back Queensland last night, you had to be comfortable with all those factors and feel that they weren't, you know, that bad. Or you had to feel there were enough negatives that counteracted that in New South Wales. And New South Wales did have their negatives, of course, new halves combination and also missing a couple other key forwards such as Daniel Saifidi. And those showed to be, you know, really key elements. I mean, the biggest moment of the match to me, obviously, I think is Luttrell's penalty attempt. When New South Wales gets that penalty with 3 minutes to go, I'm all right with taking a shot at goal if that's my team from halfway. I think it just needed to be really clear to him, this isn't a conversion. You don't need to put that extra loft on the ball and just aim for accuracy. You have to boot the cover off the ball here. Every person who takes kickoffs in the NRL can kick it dead. This has to go dead, and you've got to kick this off. Where you've got to take this shot with still 90 seconds to go on the clock. This can't be an all or nothing. As we know, the penalty falls short. Queensland catch the ball. There's a minute to go. It's game over. So it had to be taken quicker and go as far as possible because, of course, if it goes dead, even if you miss, Queensland's forced to do a 20-meter dropout. So that would have given New South Wales two bites at the cherry. Look, Ben Hunt was enormous. As we know, he won man of the match. I thought his tackle on Latrell Mitchell on the try line when Queensland were just trying to keep New South Wales at bay was as big as either of his two tries. It's funny because Ben Hunt is a guy that's criticized a lot, and here he is playing on the biggest stage out of position in a series where he wasn't necessarily first, you know, the forefront of people's mind. People thought it was a new time. Harry Grant, Reed Marnie was in the mix. You had, if anything, the utilities were looking more like AJ Brimson, maybe a Reece Walsh. And for whatever reason, Ben Hunt made his way all the way back into this squad, into the starting team, instrumental in winning a game for Queensland. Of course, Turbo won the Wally Lewis medal. And it's funny because it did remind me, and I wish I'd kind of thought of this and thrown this out there. 2018, we all know the year that Billy Slater won the Wally Lewis medal in a losing series in a game where he only played twice. It was actually Tom Trbojevic whose medal, who probably deserved that medal, who was probably the man who was robbed. If you look back and say, a New South Welshman should have had that medal, Tommy Turbo was as eligible and as deserving as anybody. And does that factor in to the decision by the selectors last night? Because it was dead close between Tommy, who was phenomenal and very deserving, and of course, Latrell Mitchell, who a lot of people in our group were on, and had a massive case as well. And I think maybe if Latrell's penalty shot gets over the bar, maybe that's enough to just nudge him back in front. But late in that game, when New South Wales were down, it felt to me like Turbo was trying everything he could to change the result. He made a late impression him, and every time Turbo had the ball, struck the fear of God into me. And I think that's a real mark of how talented a player is. New South Wales people, you tell me, do you get that feeling when Kalen Ponga touches the ball? Because he was a huge inclusion, obviously, boosted Queensland, you know, out by a mile. And, you know, had he been there, I don't think it would have been a different result. But you can see what a difference he made. Now, I'll also take a loss or take the L when I said I agreed with Freddie's selections of the halves. Jack Whiten, his recent form, I'm talking the last 2 or 3 years. And at rep level, I thought he deserved the 5/8 jersey. And Mitchell Moses, I thought he'd done enough to come in and play Cleary's role. I mean, everybody is going to criticize the way the halves played last night. I will say this. I think the big difference last night wasn't necessarily the halves play. The biggest difference last night was Queensland's effort, and Queensland's intensity was so much better than game one and two, which shut down the space that New South Wales had to operate. In saying all that, I feel, we'll never know, but I feel like had New South Wales picked Reynolds and Walker, I feel like there's better kicks, there's better ends of sets, there's better execution, and New South Wales probably wins. Now, I touched on Ponga. I think he's another guy, a bit like Ben Hunt. There's some people that like to criticize. I don't think a lot of it's really that fair. Thought he was outstanding last night and probably second best on ground. That near intercept he had on Turbo, which, although it's a knock on, it saves a try, because if Turbo, of course, just does a little dummy or anything like that, he's through. Or if he gets that pass to Teddy, Teddy's in and Teddy does score. So that's, you know, an incredible moment that maybe wins the match for Queensland. If Kalen Ponga doesn't do that, then we're all going to be talking about a moment earlier in the match when To'o spilled the ball but recovered enough to put an epic try-saving attempt on Gagai, which at the time I think would have allowed Queensland to extend a lead to a two-score game. So moments like that get lost when the team doesn't secure the win. Another point, just to go quickly, the head height crackdown is working. I know there was a lot of criticism of how many penalties and how many six agains, but the truth is, how many high shots were there? Not many. The players are adjusting. Origin used to always have some brutal high shots. Another point, let's look at the last two series. Three games played last November, three games just concluded. We had three close ones, and we had three convincing wins. All the convincing wins by New South Wales, all the close games by Queensland. So I think Queensland fans have to be really happy that somehow, in the last 2 years, with clearly nobody can argue a squad that matches up against New South Wales, to come out of that with one series win, to come out of that with three wins head-to-head each, they've done. Queensland has outperformed. If you replay the 2020 Origin series, clearly some of the time New South Wales would have won game one or three and won that series. If you replay the 2021 series, you could replay that 100 times. I don't know how many times Queensland could have reversed the game one or two result, but clearly New South Wales could have won game three a few times as well. So this year could have been a sweep. Last year, New South Wales could have won as well. Queensland fans, be happy with that. They've overperformed expectations. New South Wales fans, I'll leave you with this. You should definitely be happy too. You just won the series. All the games were in Queensland. Your team is younger. You've got a brighter future. And it's exciting times to be a New South Wales fan. You've got a team that, although you obviously a bitter taste in the mouth to not sweep the series, you've got a team with a lot of talent to be excited about. Now, as we move to round 18, I was just speaking of sponsors earlier. Let's throw to our sponsored segment, a company I'm very happy to fully endorse and that I believe in and that I believe is a benefit to have for all punters. That's Top Sport, of course. So here's Tristan, who was at the game last night. Let's get his quick take on it, as well as a look at round 18.
Hello, Tripod family. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. It's an interesting week coming up of round 18 action. We've obviously just got over Origin. It was great as a Queensland fan to finally get a little bit of respectability back this series, but New South Wales, way too good throughout the duration of the series. Queensland restored a bit of pride, which is great to see. It was a decent game last night, actually, too, which was good. So the marking in that game stayed at the 11.5 on game day. It was skewed the minus late, so there was overwhelming support for New South Wales at the minus. We got a little bit lucky in the anytime try scorers. We were heavily committed on Teddy, Turbo and Josh Adokar. So it was a good result. It didn't erode the deficit from the first couple of games, but we're happy to get a result out of Origin. So well done, Queensland. It'll be interesting what progresses over the next 12 months as to what the series is going to look like next year. There's still a few things Queensland will need to improve on, I suggest, going into this round of 18. It's a tricky one to price. These are always the hardest rounds to price up. Like, I find these rounds a lot more difficult than the rounds pre-Origin because a lot of the players are named, but there's uncertainty whether they will line up or not, which thankfully this is the last one of those rounds this season. And then you throw the additional factor on top, which is going to make it even more difficult to price, is the neutral venue aspect, where all the teams have moved up, or the majority of the teams have moved up to the Gold Coast and to the Sunny Coast and to Brizzy. So we've got a lot of games at Cbus. One of those games, which is a significant difference, is the Canberra Sharks game, where obviously Canberra, if they played this game at home, would have a significant advantage, whereas the Sharks now come right into this game on the back of it being played on the Gold Coast. And the Raiders are a difficult enough team to predict how they're going to turn up at the best of times, so this just throws another different element into it as well. So looking forward to the weekend ahead. We've got some, you know, good action leading into the finals, so hopefully everyone enjoyed the footy last night. Hopefully we get a good round of footy. Hopefully, more importantly, these cases don't kick up in Queensland as well, so we can keep the season going and we can get through the season unscathed, get to the finals and hopefully see the best teams go at it in about 6 or 8 weeks' time. All right, guys, enjoy the footy on the weekend and gamble responsibly.
Thank you, Tristan. Guys, just one other thing. If for any reason you missed the round 17 pod, I actually, because it was a split round, spent the first 10-15 minutes looking quite a bit overall at the top eight, the 15-1 multi that I gave out. I think that's all still pretty interesting. Usually, if you missed last week's pod, it's a preview, so, you know, you move on. But that one was a bit more of a general overall view. So if you did happen to miss it or whatever, and you want more of your tripod fix, you can always go and find the round 17 preview after you listen to this one. But let's jump into round 18. No footy tonight. So Friday, the early game kicks off the round with the Titans hosting the Eels, and the Eels are 5.5-point favorites. I think this is going to be a really good game. The Titans get to name the same 17 that pulled off a big win down in Canberra. They've had the bye as well. They've got three rep stars to back up, and all should back up, most important being AJ Brimson, who was thrown into the action to play the whole second half at centre, not his natural position, and did really well. I can remember one outrageously good tackle on Tom Trbojevic. He was marking the most dangerous player in the game, and he kept Tom under wraps just enough. Of course, the Eels will welcome back Mitchell Moses, who was quite maligned. I think he'll be really keen to play another game of footy. I didn't think he deserves all the criticism that's being thrown his way. But as I said, I was probably wrong in suggesting he was the right option or the best option. Paulo is also slated to come back for the Eels. And another big inclusion is welcoming back Reid Marnie. The Eels are also, of course, off a heartbreaking loss to Penrith, but a pretty good performance to play the Panthers right down to the wire in Penrith 2 weeks ago. So I think this will be a high-quality match. I think Gold Coast are a top-eight caliber side, just in terms of their roster, how they line up when they're at full strength. And I think the Eels are a top-four caliber side. But if whoever loses this, that's going to hurt their hopes, because neither of these teams are assured of being top-eight or top-four. The thing about the Gold Coast If they're to win this game, that would be their first time they beat any of the top six. And I think there is a clear top six, you know, echelon of teams. If you look at the ladder, it's been pretty much that same six all year. Ever since Manly ascended, there's a clear top six. The Titans haven't beaten any of them. They have a chance to do that tomorrow, but I feel like I need to see it before I trust it. What I always criticize about the Titans is I don't see their halves steering them to win the tight games and to beat the good teams. If they prove me wrong, it starts to elevate what they're capable of as a squad. Now, speaking of squads, I think Parramatta's a really tight squad. I kind of think back to the COVID break last year. Parramatta exploded out of the gates because I think that the squad had belief and confidence that they could really do something special. And although they fell away, I feel like it's a similar squad they brought back this year, and I don't see why they won't respond the same as well with a mini break and a relocation. I think getting their spine intact, the Eels will be too good for the Titans. So I would lean that way, but I won't lay the points, although I was close. And you can lay, I think, -2.5, $1.80 on 365. Definitely considered it, but I just thought the Titans could be due to kind of knock off one of the heavyweights or one of the stronger opponents. So I think it's going to be a cracking game. I won't lay points in a game that could go down to the 80th minute. I hope it does, really, for entertainment value. Moving to the later game Friday night, the Seagulls play the Dragons, and it's a doubleheader, so it's at Cbus as well, as these teams have been relocated. The Dragons are catching 13.5 points. Turbo will be rested, if only Manly rested Turbo after the last Origin. DCE most likely will play, is what Dez said, as well as that Schuster is back for Manly. I think this is a really important game for Manly. As I mentioned when I talked about the Raiders, Manly's last performance is a home loss as a 14-point favourite. Now, you can say, yeah, Manly lost, but they had no Origin players. Well, the Raiders aren't great this year, and the Raiders were missing their best players too. So, look, as much as Turbo is insane, I don't think Manly should be saying, oh, well, you can only judge us when Turbo plays. I think if Manly really believes they can make a run, make noise, and what, make a prelim, make a grand final, well, I don't think Manly can beat the top four and top two teams in the comp, even with Turbo, if they can't beat, you know, the 12th best side in the comp in St. George without him. And I'm calling the Dragons about the 12th best. I know that they sit right now in 7th, but I think when you factor in all the players that aren't available and what's happened to this club, I think I'm probably generous saying that they're still better than four other squads out there. On that note, though, the Dragons sitting in 7th and all of their turmoil, it's a huge game for them too. If you look back at their recent form, they pulled a really brave win against the Raiders. They pulled a really brave comeback win against the Warriors. Then they've obviously had this barbecue scandal, and you've got 12 blokes that have like let their teammates, let their coach, let their supporters down. So these guys are all owing suspensions. Now, four of them, Dufty, Fumano, obviously Vaughan's had his contract torn up, Alvaro, and then Lomax, not technically a loss because he hasn't been back from injury, but they're missing that boost. Those guys are out, but there are eight other players playing for St. George tomorrow night who have suspensions yet to come. I feel like those players owe the club huge performances. Now, is there a divide in the team? Is there, you know, because some players are disagreeing with others or some players feel let down? You know, I think if you bet on this game, St. George, Illawarra against Manly, it comes down to your guess of how the Dragons will play. I think you know you'll get a good Manly performance, but do you trust that the Dragons can respond to all the adversity and come up with a big performance? Of course, Captain Hunt comes back in and he's off a huge performance of his own. Sims should back up as well. I would play the Dragons if I could have gotten that line earlier in the week. I think it was up near 20, in some places over 20. And you know me, I would have anticipated that Turbo would be rested for this. So the best way I would execute that would be to bet on the Dragons before the Turbo news came out. But as I only give my best bets on, you know, Wednesday night, or in this case a Thursday night, and the Turbo news is already official and that line has dropped 6 or 7 points, well, now I've missed the best line. So I'm just not going to take the Dragons with that. I still expect Manly could go well and Manly could still cover it. So I'm passing it. Good luck to the people who did get an early line on the Dragons. Moving to Saturday, the game you've already heard I have a best bet on. Raiders play the Sharks, third in a row game at Cbus. And the Sharks across the board are -1.5, but I'm taking the +2.5 that's still available, $1.88 on Unibet, and the +2 I would still play $1.90 on Sportsbet. Now, this is a huge game, clearly, because it's going to go a long way to decide a top eight position. I believe, especially for Canberra, I think a winnable game and one that they need to win, being on the outside looking in. Now, Tristan touched on the big factor that Canberra have lost the right to host this. This, you know, if this had been last week, this game would be down in Canberra, but, and I'm not even sure, maybe someone can comment, are there COVID cases in Canberra? It seems like Canberra has been thrown in with, you know, being treated as rest of New South Wales. It feels harsh for the Raiders because they could have really used this game being in Canberra, but it's not. It's on a neutral venue. And look, both these teams had good performances last week, as I've touched on, Raiders with the upset over Manly. They do lose Whitehead while gaining those Origin stars. And the Sharkies won our best bet last week. They weren't exceptional, but they did enough. They don't have, Cronulla don't have any disadvantage of any Origin players. So that is kind of an edge to Cronulla. But conversely, I do give the edge to the Raiders getting a 10-day turnaround versus a 6-day turnaround. Now, interestingly, I'm looking at this game being Saturday afternoon. I do think the Sharks are a good daytime footy team. I think they're a side that likes to throw it around. We saw them score 20 in the first half against the Warriors, and although they managed zero in the second half, overall, I think you still like the Sharkies in the day more than night, or, you know, potentially dewy conditions, because they like to shift the footy. You'd probably say the opposite of Canberra. They're a side that wants to play through you. So that would definitely suit the Sharkies. But, you know, in saying that, Raiders have got this young, you know, speed start fullback, Xavier Savage. You know, it's exciting to see him get another run and now get to play with, you know, some of his better teammates who rejoin the team. And I'm just going back to that point that I believe that now I know that Canberra have a couple of things. They have hope and they have life. And I'm willing to take them on the back of, you know, getting these guys back into the team. Maybe Whiten also with a point to prove after not having his best performance in Origin. Let's not forget the Sharkies are still without Wade Graham as well. This could go either way. I just feel getting over 2 points or getting a couple of points is enough value to lean me to Canberra. So I've got them as a best bet. Next match on Saturday, the Cowboys host the Roosters. The Roosters are a 10.5 point favorite. And look, there's been a lot of talk of the crackdown. It was over the top magic round, as you all remember. Everything that was anywhere near the head or head high was, you know, obviously a sin bin or a send off. And if I look back, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the harshest sin bin of all of them was the sin bin against the Cowboys when they played the Roosters in magic round. That was anybody's game. The Cowboys were down 6 with 15 to go, but that sin bin changed all that, instantly gave the Roosters a penalty, which pushed the lead to 8, gave them a man advantage, which led to a try, and really not allowing the Cowboys to score. Roosters won that game by 14. Why do I remember that so vividly? Because our best bet that night was Cowboys +13.5. Now, since then, when I took the Cowboys against the Roosters, I would say my opinion of the Cowboys has reduced. Now, I don't want to relive the best bet that lost last week. It's all in the recap, but I think it was the unluckiest loss we've had all season out of all of our 22 losers, I think. And if I didn't say at the top, we're still 66% on best bets. You're still up over $2,300, and that's including losing 100 on each of the origins. Of course, I build that in. Nowhere to hide any losers, so those origin losses count in that. We've still got a great profit this season. But getting back to that losing best bet last week, it was very unlucky because of the position we were in. It was very unlikely that we were going to lose our first half handicap of +8.5 when the Cowboys were up 12-2. Does that mean it was a great bet? No, not necessarily. The Cowboys went on to concede 46 straight points. I'm not about to say that a team that did that was worthy of a best bet. So not a great bet, just a terrible amount of luck for us. And now this Cowboys team has dealt another blow. They lose Valentine Holmes for an extended period. He hurt his shoulder last night. They will get back Francis Molo and the Hammer from Origin, and those guys should be buzzing. But it's not an easy opponent that the Cowboys have to face here. Look, if you look at the Roosters' last couple of games, they lost 46-0 to the Storm, and then they only beat the Dogs narrowly. And since then, they've had training injuries. Suali is out for the season. TKO, hamstring strain, is out. Having said all that, I still think the Roosters are a good side. Crichton and Teddy should back up. Joey Manu is having a whale of a season. Sam Walker has his ups and downs, but he's fun to watch Waria Hargreaves having as good a season as I've seen him have in his career. And of course, Radley is back on deck. So I referenced Magic Round when I took the Cows against the Roosters. I have to say I liked North Queensland more then, whenever that was, about 6 weeks ago, than I do now. And we were getting more points back then than we are now, so I can't play the Cowboys. Do I play the Roosters? I think a double-digit line is a bit steep for a match in Townsville with a couple of players out for the Roosters. So I think the bookies have the line pretty fair, I have to pass. Moving to Saturday night, the Storm host the Knights, and the line is -18.5. This game is scheduled to be played in Melbourne, where they have not played any league since April. Although I did hear some news today that there could be a lockdown. Don't quote me on all this news, of course, check yourself, but could be more lockdown sanctions in Melbourne. So I'm not 100% sure if this match would go ahead in Melbourne. As I said, just check that one. I don't have a bet on this, but still assessing the matchup. No, still no Pappenhausen for the Storm. It's a luxury that they've got Nico Himes doing a great job back there. And still no Harry Grant either. Again, the luxury, you've got Brandon Smith. Now, Munster, Adokar, Finucane, Kalfusi, Welsh will all be assessed. Again, it's that luxury for the Storm that there's no reason they have to force somebody to play if they're a bit underdone or a bit under 100%. They've got the depth to cover it and they're sitting pretty on the ladder. As for the Knights, they are not sitting pretty on the ladder. Now, before the season, just a kind of side note, I drew a lot of parallels between the Newcastle Knights and the Gold Coast Titans. Thought they were really similar teams with similar rosters, similar strengths, and I picked them to finish 7th and 8th. If we look at the ladder now, after 17 rounds, they're both on the outside, but I would still argue at this point in time that the Gold Coast and the Knights have top 8 quality rosters and both should make it. But it's crunch time for them. They can't drop many more games if they are going to make it. And I know that those squads believe they should be there. So these are really important matches coming up. Now, the Titans and Knights also have something in common, that they had statement wins last time out. They both won by about 40 points. And they've both been getting some key rep players out. Obviously, both have star fullbacks, AJ Brimson. And for the Knights, Kalen Ponga, that have gotten back in their team recently. That allows them to maybe make a ladder surge. Is this a must-win for Newcastle? I wouldn't go that far. They're sitting 9th, and this is not a very winnable game. Obviously, playing the Storm, you're an 18-point underdog. The Knights have more winnable games coming up. On that note, there's actually a thread in our group where several sharp punters are talking about Knights to make the 8 at $2.30 and keeping their powder dry, waiting for a Knights loss this weekend, and then seeing if they can jag like $2.50 about the Knights to make the 8. And I don't disagree with that thinking. So if you really think that way for Newcastle, it would probably be smart to rest Ponga in this one, in a game that's not very winnable, and then bring him back definitely fit and firing for that home run. I don't know if NRL teams ever really think about like punting on a game, and you can argue as well, Newcastle wants to keep building continuity combinations on the field. So likely that Kalen Ponga plays. In addition, Frizzell is back from injury, and so is Daniel Saifidi. And they're both kind of on the early side of things in their return from injury. Now, having said all that, the Storm have been phenomenal all year. I wish I'd probably bet on them a few more times than I have. I've gone against the Storm quite a few times this year. Although, if you want to go back and look through all the best bets in all the weeks, we've actually done, I think we've won more than we've lost in the moments that we have opposed the Storm. But I still hate doing it. So I look at this line, and I do believe in this Knights team, and with a line above 18, I would have to lean towards the Knights, but I won't play them because this is a homecoming game for the Storm if they do play in Melbourne, and you'd expect that they will perform accordingly. And if the game gets moved venue anyway, the bet's going to void. So I think I'm just going to pass anyway and see where the dust settles on that one. Moving to Sunday, the game I've also got my second best bet on in a triple header. The Warriors are playing the Panthers at Suncorp. Line across the board, -6.5, Penrith favoured. But I really value playing that -5.5, sacrificing 10 cents on Unibet, or even the -6 at $1.82 on Top Sport, where it's going to save you a loss, obviously, if it lands 6. Now, the reserves are the interesting talking point for the Warriors, particularly Tohu Harris. So important for them. He's injured, but he's in the reserves, so there's a chance he could play. Ewan Aitken had to quarantine after being affected by COVID with a flight he took in their bye week, but he's eligible to play this week, which would be a boost. You know, last week I talked about New Zealand's match was another one that was in their reach, but they just weren't quite good enough. That's been the story of their season. On a plus note, they don't have any Origin players, at least, to disrupt the team, but they haven't capitalized on that. This is a period of the year where teams with no Origin players really should jag a couple of wins against sides that are under strength. New Zealand hasn't been able to do that. They face a Penrith side that knows all about Origin. As I said, there's like five Origin players coming back. I think with this game being on the Sunday, the majority of those guys will come back. To'o, Yeo, Capewell, Coruscant, Liam Martin. They're all named. Now, they've all played big roles, in particular, you know, To'o, Yeo, Capewell. But those are the guys that have played the biggest minutes. But I still think, yeah, anyone who they might sit out, they actually have the depth to cover one or two of those guys. Now, I think after Penrith lost those back-to-back games to the Tigers and the Sharks, then they only beat the Eels by a field goal, which to some people wasn't that impressive. Everyone's the simple explanation is, oh, well, they're not the same team without Cleary, and now they've lost Luai. So I think that's actually keeping some people off Penrith, where I believe that could actually line them up for a ruthless performance, just to remind us all what's what. Ivan sticks with Tyrone May, who's another guy being criticised, but when you've got two of your halves out, Tyrone May's still a ball player. I think he'll be aided by Matty Burton moving to 5'8". Previously, Matty Burton was staying in the centres when Cleary was out. So now Burton's in at 5'8". He can run the show and really showcase his talent. And I think Dylan Edwards is a huge inclusion here. That really helps the whole spine and helps the Panthers click. He's not as important to the Panthers as Nathan Cleary, but I think it was pronounced or magnified having both of those guys out. So I think it's a huge inclusion. And then you get to, you know, move Stephen Crichton back to the centers. You got Brent Naden in there. You even got Momorowski, who's not even in the 17. So they've got still options and still a very formidable team, Penrith. The Origin players, as I said, a few of them will come back into the team, like Coruscant, who got a debut but didn't play the whole game last night. So, you know, again, looking at the most recent performances by Penrith, where they lost by a field goal to the Sharks and then they beat the Eels by a field goal. Well, you guys know the Sharks and Eels are two opponents that I think are pretty good and who I was on in both those games. And I thought it was good spots for those teams. So I'm not going to take away a lot from Penrith. That's why I think this is the time that they will step up and play really well. New Zealand are a really talented team, but as I spoke about at the top, do those tough losses mount up? Even more adversity for them to face now relocating again. They've got the talent to click. If New Zealand comes out and wins this game, I won't be shocked. But at the same time, I think close to 60% of the time, this is going to be a commanding Panthers performance. That's why I'm willing to play it as a best bet, -5.5. And I will also use this match as a second part of my mixed matchup. And I'll use the first game, Cronulla Raiders, for the first half of the mixed matchup. We'll combine them together, and that will be our play this week. On the mixed matchup, to give you guys even more insight, because we lost last week and then we lost the Origin play, I think overall, clearly, if you look at the results, these markets that I've been able to create, you know, these unique markets, have done as well as I could possibly hope for everybody who has jumped on TopSport and played them. And that's not even including the $6.50 Euro winner that we had on Monday, or like, let's say, the 15-1 season multi that's still in running and, you know, is better than a 1-in-3 shot, as we discussed last week. Now, I don't hide the fact that TopSport sponsors this show. Therefore, there's a benefit to me to keep this going due to people using that Tripod promo code and choosing to join TopSport. So to a degree, when I create a unique market, I know that that's going to motivate some people to want to join, and that is great. But I just want to make one point clear. I never create the mixed matchup based on what I think is going to be, you know, enticing or what I think people will want to bet on. Because trust me, this market is actually really challenging to create each week to try and find the appropriate matchup, the one that's going to give us value and to be able to profit as much as we have. So the only thing that goes through my mind, I have tunnel vision when I'm trying to find the mixed matchup. The only thing I'm thinking is, which matchup can I negotiate to get the most value to me? That's all I care about, because I know at the end of the day, I'll get judged on the results. And if I don't stick to my principles and my method, then the results won't be as good at the end of the at the end of the season. And even last week is a good example. We were on a 7-game win streak. I picked a fairly unlikely mixed matchup, $3.50 odds. You know, some people commented that, you know, that's ballsy to take, to put a 7-game win streak on the line with a longer odds shot. But in a 4-game round, that was the best value in my mind. Now, was it a popular pick taking the Sharks to score more than the Rabbits? No, in fact, it was super unpopular. But again, I'm not trying to find something that's popular. Often, if I was to do that, I wouldn't be getting the best value and I wouldn't be doing the right thing by you guys. So my genuine process is to just take what I think is going to give the best value odds. You judge it how you like based on the results. I'll never do anything but try to get the best results. This week, my bet is the Panthers to outscore the Sharks. Best bet on Penrith to beat the Warriors by 6 or more, and best bet on the Raiders to beat the Sharks or keep it close. So obviously there's my logic. They're both daytime games. They could both be relatively high scoring, but I think maybe we get a bit of value on Penrith because of the key guys that are out there in Cleary and Luai, and the fact that those guys were missing in Origin last night and New South Wales started. Maybe some people will assume that's going to be the same effect on Penrith, but I think this Warriors side, although they didn't crack last week against Cronulla, could still crack. There's been several weeks this year where the Warriors have leaked a bunch of points, and Panthers are that kind of relentless team that just builds pressure on both sides of the ball in attack and defense, and I think can run up a decent score, whereas I'm going to bank on a bit of desperation and season on the line for the Raiders. Now, that's no certainty. Raiders have failed and disappointed many times this year, but I think they've got a fairly strong squad that comes up to play the Sharkies on Saturday and can limit them to a reasonable score that the Panthers can catch. In terms of market expectation, the Sharkies are expected to score around 24.5. Panthers about 26. So we are a favourite there. But of course, we take on that risk that if they both score the same, we lose. So therefore, we get $2 odds about Penrith to score more points than the Sharks. I'm going to add a bit of advice. With my best bets, I never tip something that I think there could be some news coming out really soon that's going to make this a worse bet, because that's not going to help me in the long run with you know, these best bets winning. And I never tip a best bet if I think the odds are going to increase. So therefore, my general advice is when you hear me share a best bet, if you agree and you want to jump on, I always say jump on sooner rather than later. It doesn't mean my best bets will never drift, but I think anyone who's followed long enough knows that it's more often the best bet odds firm. With the mixed matchup, it's a little bit different. It's a fixed price that's agreed to by Top Sport, and they honor that price all the way up until kickoff of the first match involved. So that actually means you can wait a couple more days with this mixed matchup, wait until at least before kickoff of Sharks Raiders, and you might have a little bit more insight in for sure into who's going to be playing for Penrith on Sunday, and have even more confidence that the majority of those reps or all those reps are playing. And then jump on the mixed matchup if you like it. Couple more games to quickly talk about. The Broncos play the Tigers. Tigers are +2.5 point underdogs. And I actually find this game really intriguing. Yeah, it's cellar dwellers, but it's a game where both of these teams actually come in with a chance to win. And I would prefer to watch two bad teams play than a bad team play a really good team, honestly, because at least I don't know what's going to happen here. And that's the way I see this one, and that's why I don't have a best bet on it. Brisbane will get Haas, Xavier Coates, and Flegler all backing up from Origin. Their halves in this one, Brisbane is Gamble and Croft, if you're trying to keep up to date. It does seem to change quite often. The biggest player that I should mention for Brisbane is Katoni Staggs. He absolutely hit the ground running in his season debut last week. A big reason they beat Cronulla. Well, they didn't win this game. They wouldn't have won that game without him. He's a superstar, and it's not just that he upgrades the right center position. It's that he lifts the whole team and, in fact, the crowd around him as well. Now, if the Tigers want to win this game, they're going to have to shut down Katoni Staggs. And ironically, it looks like he's going to line up against James Roberts, who once was probably that superstar that Brisbane hoped. Well, James Roberts was once the guy that Brisbane hoped could be a superstar. So I think that's a very worrying matchup for West Tigers. One edge to West, of course, is they don't have any Origin players backing up. All the Origin players from West or play for new clubs now. Sorry, Tigers fans. When I look at the squads, I think they're very even. And then Brisbane's at home and they're off a confidence-boosting win. So I think Brisbane should be favourites. If I'm the Tigers, I'm looking at this game saying there's no reason we can't match the Broncos. We played well last time we played at Suncorp in Magic Round. And actually, we've got the more experienced halves. Dwayne is a quality player who's playing 5'8 than this. And let's be honest, Luke Brooks, starting halfback for 8 seasons, a lot more experience than the other side halves in Gamble and Croft. So that could be the key ingredient that gets the West Tigers home. And I'll certainly be cheering for them to win this one because they've won 5 games this year. And if we're going to win our 15-1 season multi, we need 3 more. So neither side sways me enough for a best bet, but I'll cheer on West Tigers. Finally, the Rabbitohs play the Dogs at Cbus. The Rabbitohs are 26.5-point favourites. This Rabbitohs side was so ruthless last week once they clicked into gear, which unfortunately for us was a few minutes before halftime. I referenced the Rabbitohs halves in my Origin wrap. Particularly Cody Walker made a statement in the way that he played last week. And again, maybe that, you know, him and Reynolds should have been there last night for New South Wales, but it's a benefit to the Rabbitohs that they weren't really. Now, how the Rabbitohs line up in this one depends a bit on who backs up from Origin. So Murray, Cook, Gagai, Mitchell, they've got to make a decision. Obviously, Arrow will be suspended. Regardless of who the Bunnies pick, they're going to be too good for Canterbury. I don't see any possibility of an upset here. In fairness to the Dogs, they improved a lot last week, going from 66-0 losers to Manly to last week playing the Roosters all the way down to the wire. In that game, the key was the Dogs' forwards in poor conditions. They really aimed up. Unfortunately for Canterbury, the Bunnies are the kind of side where their footy pulls you apart. It's going to be really hard for the Dogs. And in terms of the line, as I've said all season, I really struggle to know what to do with these massive lines. It's so easy that a game can kind of go either way. I feel like the Rabbitohs can win by as many as they want to on their day, and we've seen that. But we've also seen games where they just coast, whether it be the first 25 against the Cows last week, whether it be the whole second half against West last week. So because we don't know which way that's going to go or how seriously the Bunnies will take this game, I'm going to leave it alone. Now, guys, I know this has been a longer pod, so actually, thank you for staying with me this far. And I want to get your genuine feedback. When I came into this season, my aim was to give a 30-minute preview pod every Wednesday and about a 20-minute recap. But I've noticed, for whatever reason, these have been creeping up in time, and tonight's pod's getting close to 50 minutes, but a few in the last few weeks have been like 40-minute pods. So what I really like to know, and I'm going to put it in the comments of YouTube and Facebook, do you guys value a shorter, sharper pod? Do you want to get in, get out, and just hear the key thoughts on each game and be done in 30 minutes? Or do you not mind a pod that goes that extra 10, 15 minutes and just allows me to elaborate a bit more, you know, within each game and a few overall things, and not being trying to cut it down? Please let me know which way you like it, because I want to hear your feedback and make the pod that makes most people happy and want to tune in. So I'll put that in the comments. I'll see you Sunday night. It'll be a later live recap because there's a Sunday night game this week. So I'll probably see you about 8:30 for a live recap. I think this will be a really important round to watch closely and see how everybody adapts to all the latest circumstances and how everybody looks for the run home. So I hope you guys can join me then. Good luck with all your punts. Let me know what you're looking at, what you agree or disagree with that I've said tonight in my preview. And as always, gamble responsibly. Lego.